If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. From the last session onward, we started a series of discussion regarding the, or some of the jurisprudential laws or Islamic laws related to Khums, this, ritual Islamic tax on the annual income incumbent on every Muslim. And as you know, we do that, and this program is based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah or martyr, Shahid Ayatollah Khamenei. And we'd like to follow up with more questions regarding that important concept. You know, somebody asked us, Sheikh, that I am 25 years old, employed, and single. I live with my parents. My father is too old to work. For the last 4 years, I've been fully responsible for the living needs. I cannot pay homes while providing for them. I owe 19,000 tumans for homes of previous years. Can I give homes paid on my annual profit to my parents?
Right. Well, if his parents cannot meet their own needs, it is obligatory for him to support them, to support his parents, because he can support them and he can do it. And the money he spends on them counts as part of his personal annual expenses. But this cannot be considered as khums, because khums cannot be given to one's parents, khums cannot be given to one's child or children, okay? Even if they are sayyid, because they are our wajibun nafaqa. We need to maintain them, support them financially, and we cannot give them to our khums, to our blood relatives. Khums must be calculated separately and paid according to Sharia, even if one is financially supporting family members. So the khums portions, the sayyid portion or the imam portion, must be given to the religious authority, or must be spent on the urgent needs of the mu'mineen or religious people who are poor, after obtaining permission from the religious authority or his office.
I see. Somebody asked the Sheikh that I owe the imam's share of the homes, which I should transfer. There is a mosque in need of funds. Can I forward it to the imam of that mosque for completion?
The fund to be spent on the mosque, right? That was the question.
Yes.
Funds for projects such as mosque construction should come from voluntary contributions of believers. There are many people who out there who are willing to pay for the construction of a mosque, because constructing a mosque will earn an individual tremendous reward, and there are people who want to contribute towards building a mosque. So money from khums cannot be given for this purpose, unless there is an urgent need and there is permission from the religious authorities. Otherwise, without permission, it cannot be used on constructing a mosque. So actually, when the religious authorities insist that khums cannot be spent on construction of a mosque, this is to ensure that khums is used in accordance with Sharia and the marja's guidance and instruction.
I see. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break, and then we'll be back with more questions in the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters, to RIB English Radio, the program Islamic Laws. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Well, we are speaking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to Khums, according to the fatwas issued by Martyr Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, Sheikh Javid, somebody asked us that during his lifetime, our father did not pay Khums in full. So we granted a piece of his land as a gift for constructing a hospital. The question is that he asked is that can this land count as a part of Khums paid on the deceased person's property?
Right. Well, and the short answer is no. Gifting property for construction of a hospital or any charitable purposes does not count as payment of Khums on the deceased person's property or estate. Khums must be calculated on the remaining wealth according to Sharia and paid to the authorized marja's office or his representative.
I see.
So Khums cannot be paid for that purpose, and it cannot be given, a piece of land cannot be given with that intention to build a hospital. Of course, that will have its reward for the deceased person on whose behalf a hospital is built. Of course, it is a continuous charity that will continue to benefit him even after his death. But it will not count as Khums.
What if this hospital is built actually in a place, in an area or region dominated by Sayyids? There are some places like this.
Yeah, of course. Just like I said, it cannot. Function or cannot be considered as Khums.
I see. Okay. Sheikh Javid, let me ask you a very general question. Can Khums be pardoned? And when is that? When does it happen?
When a person has a source of income and he spends some of his income on his own personal needs and some others on the needs and animal needs of his family and children, of course. So Khums is not paid on those things which are spent on his annual needs and expenses. But if his income exceeds the annual expenses of his family and himself, then it is necessary to pay Khums on the excess. And Khums cannot be pardoned. Both the Sayyid's share and then an Imam's share are obligatory and must be paid. Forgiving or neglecting payment without proper justification is not permissible in Islamic Sharia.
I see. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still speaking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to Khums. the Islamic tax on the annual income incumbent on every Muslim, according to fatwas issued by martyr Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, somebody asked us that he's, has $125 at the end of his khums year and pays this khums, for example, or to own $100. The following year, he earns an additional $50, reaching $150.
Right.
Should khums be paid on the new $50 only or the whole amount?
Of course, khums is not paid on the mukhammas money, on the amount from which khums had been paid in the previous years.
Mm-hmm.
So khums has to be paid on the new income. Like in this, in the example you provided, khums should be paid on only $50 mm-hmm. and not on $150.
Yes. Okay. Well, is khums applicable to income obtained by Islamic studies students while working or propagating Islam, or to the portion of the imam they receive? Can they save income for future marriage without paying khums?
Well, religious stipends or gifts granted by the maraji to students of Islamic seminaries for studies or propagation are not subject to khums. I should make a point here. You know, the scholars are divided divided when it comes to gifts and certain type of stipends, like the stipends given by the seminaries to the students, mm-hmm. Of course. Generally speaking, according to Ayatollah al-Shahid Sayyid Ali al-Khamenei,
yes,
and many other scholars, khums is not payable on gifts a person receives. Even if many years pass on the gifted item, khums cannot be and is not paid on the gifted item, right? Mm. But this is not the case, and this is not the opinion held by some other scholars. Like Ayatollah Sistani, he believes that if a year runs over the gift, khums should be paid on the gift.
Mm.
Khums should be paid on the gift. And the same is the case with the money received by the students of the Islamic seminaries. They have to pay khums on the money which is deemed to be surplus to their needs, right? So this is the difference of opinion, and of course every duty-bound person must make sure to act and follow the fatwa of his own religious authority. Now, if our listeners are following the acting according to the fatwa of His Eminence Ash-Shahid Ayatollah Sayyid Ali al-Khamenei,
yes,
they must understand that khums is not paid on gifted items.
Mm-hmm. What about the second part of my question, like the income or the money saved for marriage? Is it actually liable to khums?
Again, according to His Eminence, Ayatollah Khamenei says that saving for future needs like marriage does not exempt it from khums, uh-huh, unless it has already been distributed or spent according to Sharia, right?
I see.
So there are future needs. Everybody has needs to be met in the future, but it doesn't mean that he's exempt from khums. He has to pay khums once a year runs over his saving.
So there are no savings which are exempted from khums?
Yeah, of course.
So they have to actually pay one-fifth of that savings?
What? Yeah, 20% of the amount.
20%, yes. Thank you very much, Sheikh. That was great actually talking to you. Thank you very much, dear audience, for listening to your own program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, the host of this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We bid you farewell. And until another show that we, talk about some of the jurisprudential laws, especially related to khums, according to fatwas issued by martyr Ayatollah Khamenei. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. جميل وهاب لطيف.
لا إله إلا هو